weekly edition of the Film Drunk Frotcast is back. You've been waiting since the last one. This is your ear rapist, Ben. We got a great show for you. The whole crew is here. Blogger extraordinaire, super blogger, Vince.
That's me.
We have bearded Brett.
Fuck you, the internet.
And we have unbearded Brendan.
I like you, internet.
And we have Burnsy waiting for Burnsy's corner as well.
But he's not on yet. No,
Vince told him not to speak, so he's obeying. It is Vince's podcast, as we've learned many times.
Yes.
So we are going to step into Burnsy's corner for his special, I think it's holiday music edition.
That's correct.
And later we're going to get Laramie on to discuss all of the award show movies that we all have very strong opinions on. We've got some emails, and Vince is going to play some of his audio from a stand-up show where Brendan almost had to punch a guy.
Yeah. I've had quite a few comedy shows since as we've been doing the broadcast that people have requested that I put online, and you know, I did great and killed at most of those, and I haven't gotten around to posting any of those. But then I just did one yesterday that was a total disaster, and so of course I have to share that one with you for whatever reason. I guess because I'm a masochist. But
your comedy wasn't a disaster. It just
wasn't. I laughed. It was funny.
You laughed.
It wasn't a disaster, but it was.
It was not the tip of the peak of your comedy.
It was not ideal. No. Like if you were inviting your friends to a comedy show that haven't seen you do comedy in like,
you'd be like trying not to get in a fight with someone in the audience.
No, this wouldn't be on the top of my list of shows for
was it
them to be at.
Well, because you forgot to wear pants. Was that the big part?
No, he had pants on.
Oh.
He had pants on and everything.
I think that might have been the problem, you know, looking back.
Yeah. You're so much more comfortable without your pants on.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's probably why I wasn't in my comfort zone.
Yeah, like if you came out and said, hey, everyone, let me just get comfortable, and then you took your pants off,
mm-hmm.
you'd feel so much better.
Yeah, that's the old thing about public speaking is let the audience see you in your underwear. Or if, I think that's how it goes, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think you nailed that.
Uh-huh.
And you majored in public speaking, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. this dovetails in nicely into an email that we got from our reader, Matt, who grew up in Sacramento and has been in San Francisco for like this week and was just sent us an email about all the things that he saw in San Francisco and was just sort of dumbfounded at, like a hobo talking to his penis like in Union Square and some crazy lady on the BART singing about Jesus and yelling at him. And he was just sort of dumbfounded that we see this sort of thing every day, and he wanted us to tell more stories about San Francisco. And I thought my comedy show was sort of the perfect embodiment of the dumb shit that happens. So
hey, before you get to the comedy show, quick aside, I also, like, right after we got that email, the day after we got that email, I was walking home from work. I shit you not, I had Raining Blood by Slayer on my iPod. And I see some crazy guy, and he's walking in front of me, and he's making all sorts of weird gestures. He's like this little Asian guy, but you can tell he's got like a long beard. He's like clearly like a street person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's odd, but I just keep walking by. He walks by, like right when he gets on like my 3 o'clock, like so I couldn't really react to it. He shoots in like he's going to tackle me. Like this is out of nowhere. Like I'm leaving work. I have my laptop bag on, you know,
maybe even a sweater vest.
I'm wearing dress shoes. Yeah.
Well,
and
he just knew you played football.
Yeah. And so he shoots in for a tackle, and I just react and I straight arm him like down on like the back of his neck. And I like pull my leg out and like open my hip up. And it was just like a total like rugby move. I was like, "Siah!" And then like I was still kind of shocked. I wasn't in straight like Terminator mode. I was just kind of like, what the fuck is going on? And like I took my hands out of my pockets and they were like kind of up. And meanwhile, he goes in this like karate stance. It's like 70s karate stance. And he's making all these noises and he just slowly backs away. It was insane.
The peyote.
He probably actually did karate in the 70s. He was
probably
an Asian homeless man.
Yeah.
Oh, he got a bad batch of peyote.
It's a crazy time. We were all doing karate.
We do have to explain that to the listeners. We actually have Asian homeless people here, which I don't think they have in any other city.
There's four.
Well, true, but they're very loud.
But so that was Friday.
Trying to tackle people.
Last night, you know, this happens, which was just another fucking, you know,
yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, also, before we get to that even, today I was at the coffee shop where I work sometimes, and this like homeless
not
looking.
Not serving coffee,
no,
mind you.
Yeah, blogging.
Typing.
Blogging. Just blogging
just
it up.
Just blogging, bro. Yeah.
Oh, what are you doing? Oh, you know, just fucking blogging.
Yeah,
man.
You know, just
I'm just keeping it so snarky right now.
Oh my God,
you don't even know. So this homeless sort of lady, you know, kind of dirty, wasn't like crazy filthy or anything, but you could tell she was sleeping not in a house. And she comes in, and there's a woman who's maybe like late 60s, early 70s, who's just been sitting quietly next to the door. And the homeless woman comes in, and she's like, "Can you take your glasses off?"
And the old lady says this to the bum.
No, the homeless lady said this to the woman. Yeah. And the woman's like, "What?" And she's like, "Oh, okay." And she's like, "Are you Eileen?" And the woman's like, "No, I don't know who that is." And she's like, "Are you sure you look like Eileen?" She's like, "No, I have no idea who this person is. I've never met you before. I don't know who you're talking about." She's like, "Well, if you see Eileen, she's been spreading secrets about me." Like, seriously. And then me and some other...
That would have been awful if her name was Eileen.
And then
she would have gotten beat up by a crazy hobo.
And then
I am Eileen and you have halitosis.
And then and then she left, and then she came back, and she was just sort of standing outside waiting for this woman to leave. And me and this other guy in the coffee shop had to like make her go away,
with a broom.
Yeah, basically.
Did you take pieces of bread?
Go on, I mean, scamp. Go.
He took the lead, which is basically like, "We're going to call the police on you." Blah blah. But really, we should be saying we are going to call someone who's going to give you your medication again because you're clearly schizophrenic. But yeah.
Leave this poor old lady alone. She's clearly not Eileen, nor does she know
She's
Eileen.
She's not Eileen, man.
Someone else is spreading crazy secrets about you.
Yeah,
she should have found out what the secrets were.
I know. No, well, she didn't say they were lies.
They're just secrets. That's the problem. They're not lies. They're secrets. She doesn't want people knowing them.
That's right.
So, anywho, this all culminates in last night.
Yeah, last night I'm doing a comedy set at a bar in the Hate. Not the ideal place to be doing comedy necessarily. Sometimes bar shows are good. Sometimes this is a new venue, not quite built out for comedy yet. Sort of getting there. But anyway, the crowd is mixed. Put it that way.
Mixed ethnicities?
No, actually there was not nearly enough.
It was very white.
Yeah, it was too white. You need a few black people to watch comedy because they're more expressive generally, which is much nicer to perform in front of when you're a comedian.
They also set the tone.
Yeah.
If they're laughing.
Yeah, yeah. If they're laughing, then the white people know it's okay to laugh.
Yep.
Exactly. That's not the right clip.
Oh, we're just blooping someone in now, huh?
Here we go.
Bread panini.
All right. How you guys doing? You guys doing okay? You guys make some noise right now.
That's not you, is it?
No, not yet.
Okay. You know your next comic from filmdrunk.com. He is the CEO, the founder. I think that's true, right?
Sure.
And the lead contributing writer, very funny guy. Please give it up for Vince Mancini.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? Woo! I know what you're thinking. Two white dudes with poofy hair and hoodies in a row. It must be my lucky day.
Yeah, the dude that went before me is actually named Cameron Vanini and also has curly, poofy hair and was wearing a hoodie.
And it wasn't you.
And it wasn't me.
It was not you.
Give it up for all the comedians, you guys. Give it up for my friend Brett, who's in the front row over here. I like the fact that he's actually really
That was me booing for Brett.
Got called out for being depressive by Ryan from like 20 feet away. That's how you know you're actually depressive, when some guy sees you in the front row at a comedy show and you're like, "Man, dude, cheer up, fuck."
One of the previous comedians like basically was like, "Look at this guy in the front. He looks kind of depressive, actually."
To be fair, I got called out for having a beard first.
True,
it was
true.
It was a follow-up that I was depressive.
So it was bearded and then depressive.
Yeah.
In that order.
Yeah. All right.
So you guys, I had a had kind of a bad day today.
You can already hear the guy in the background talking, like distracting the shit out of me while I'm trying to do like my stupid opener.
The annoying part was like he was heckling a little bit during the previous comedians, but for you, he was just talking. Yeah. He was just having a really loud conversation,
yeah.
Which was somehow even more annoying because if he heckles you, it gives you something to play off of, but he was just kind of acting like you weren't even there, which was just even more infuriating.
Yeah, it's just like leaving me background noise that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost a pair of sunglasses. You ever do that thing where you're wearing some sunglasses and you go inside, so you put them on your head, and then you lose them when you bend over to take a look at the dump you just took?
You can tell Vince is flustered.
Yeah.
Don't act like that's weird. I just want to see what my bowels have been up to all day. Hey, dude. Hey. You can have a conversation like out there or somewhere else, but it's kind of distracting when I'm trying to talk.
I'm sorry, bro.
No problem.
I like how he cuts me off.
Yeah, he cut you off. That's what pissed me off so much. That's why I got so angry.
Yeah.
Is he cut you off?
Hey, shut up!
No, let him go.
I paid just like you did. Meanwhile, the cover was $2.
I paid my $2.
That, by the way, just for the broadcast, that was me yelling, hey, shut up.
Yeah. Very agitated.
Yeah, we're all shutting up, so you should do the same.
All right, I don't want to start a riot. Jesus.
I've been doing stand-up for 17 years. I can talk that way.
Shut up.
You know what? I will. Shut up.
At this point, I stood up because he was like, stand up and say it.
Yeah.
So I stood up and I walked over to him. And I wasn't trying to fight anybody. I was just like, shut up. You're not funny. You're not doing anything. You're not adding anything. Shut up.
I like that supposedly doing stand-up for a long time gives you the right to be an asshole at stand-up shows. Dude, I've been doing stand-up forever. I can be as big of a dick as I want.
Like George Carlin would stand in the back of like some like open mic night and be like, yeah, whatever. I've been doing stand-up for a long time.
Yeah. And clearly the guy, that was just some shit he said to make it seem like it was
no
okay.
There's no way he'd done stand-up. He also claimed that he had bounced at that bar for like 5 years when the bouncers separated us.
Yeah. What was weird is he kept appealing to the crowd too. And it's just like, dude, if you want the approval of the crowd, just go get hit by a fucking car. Because
no one likes you.
Man, second revolution.
I like how he says, I still can't whoop his ass after the bouncer separated us. And I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to get in a fight here. I just want this guy to shut up. Like, this is also, so keep in mind, just to give you the picture, there's three bouncers around me and two bouncers around him in a bar where
when you say bouncers, you mean like the four comedians that are running the show. They're not, like, none of them were actual bouncers.
There were actual bouncers, but
no, that guy Alex is just a comedian. He looks like a bouncer.
Who's that huge fat guy then?
He's just a comedian.
He's not a bouncer? Oh, he's just a comedian?
Yeah,
he didn't go up on stage.
Yeah,
well, anyway, so there's people separating us.
Be very confusing.
Anyway,
he looks like he's a bald guy with a beard. Who's
yeah. I thought that guy was a bouncer.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, there's people separating us. I'm not trying to fight anybody. I'm 30 years old. I don't fight people anymore. But I'm just like, dude, shut up.
What are you trying to say, Brendan?
There's like people separate. I am afraid to establish my manhood in a comedy club.
No. What are you trying to say about guys who get in fights at our age?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, it was so annoying where I was like, don't turn this into me trying to fight you.
Yeah.
Let's stay at the task at hand, which is shut the fuck up.
You know the saddest part of that? Is this is your best recording ever?
Yeah. I know.
This
is
the best sound job you've ever done.
I switched to my
done.
iPhone recorder. That's why. So that was that, and then it proceeded to go from there. And
by the way, if anyone wants to know if my girlfriend's a keeper or not, instead of like, hey, you dickhead, you got drunk, you stood up in the middle of your friend's comedy set, totally interrupted things, like started a fight almost. Instead, I sat back down and she's like, that was really sweet.
Well, it was.
It was nice. I thought it was nice. It was a nice gesture.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Just sticking up for you, buddy.
It went on. It went on from there. It didn't get much better from there. Let's put it that way.
It got less entertaining from there.
Yeah. There's really nowhere to go from there. It's like, oh, two people are about to get in a fight. Oh, cool. I'm going to tell you some like lame observation I made about pooping today. So,
guys.
So, anyway, I was looking at Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I noticed that my feed is doing this weird thing.
Yeah. That's basically what I'm trying to do. I'm like, God damn it. I'm already up in my head at that
point. You actually
point,
did do like, a Facebook joke right after that.
Yeah. Well, because like I'm like, what the fuck am I going to go into that's going to compete with two guys about to get in a fight?
So, have you noticed that guys are getting in a lot of fights these days? No? No one's noticing that?
Niggas be tripping.
I guess I could have gotten it in my UFC material right after that.
Yeah. Actually, you should have. Yeah.
I know. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
There's another day and another comedy set.
And
sorry, Vince. I'll never come to another comedy show again.
I know you're being honest when you say that.
Brendan never lies.
But you know what? There will be more Burnsy's Corners.
Burnsy!
Wait, like how many? Four?
We need some sort of intro to Burnsy's Corner. I want an intro song.
I think he left. Is he still there?
Burnsy's Corner. Burnsy's Corner.
You're very quiet. You pay attention to Vince's instructions very well.
That comedy thing was pretty damn awkward.
That's kind of what I do.
I didn't think there'd be so much fighting in San Francisco.
I know.
We slapped each other.
When you guys stopped, did everybody just start sucking each other's dicks?
Well, not right then, but...
Well, some of that was already going
eventually.
On.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Have a couple more beers, you know, things got slippery.
We had to take some Amo Poppers and...
That's what I like to do.
Yeah, as opposed to the stand-up shows in Orlando where they all wait to go home and run for office and then do it.
No, they're just all in Puerto Rican.
I thought they're the pastors and then they blow guys.
I don't know anything about that.
So we haven't had Burnsy's Corner in a while, mainly because I feel bad making Burnsy stay up till like midnight to do this with us. And usually we go along with his, and so... trying to coordinate between him and the next guy is kind of gets difficult. So the last time I emailed Burnsy, I was like, hey, you want to do another Burnsy's Corner this week? He's like, I don't know what that is. And it was funny because I think he drew the comedy from like an actual bitter, honest place. And I think that made it funny.
Burnsy, are you okay?
I'm fine. I just miss you guys. If I don't have you guys in my life, then I become a sadder man.
Hmm. How's the pageant world doing?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Because that's what I miss. I miss getting updates. I look online and I can't find anything, and then I go to Burnsy's Corner and I know everything that's going on.
It's better than ever.
Really?
I've never been happier to be a part of it.
I thought that I was concerned that the peak would happen when Eden retired.
She's still making the rounds and doing her thing, so she's not out of our lives yet.
She's sort of a pageant elder statesman in the pageant world. Really,
she's a legend. She's what every woman age 1 to 2 aspires to be.
It's a rap star retirement. She's got 2-3 more albums before she actually closes out.
I think she just released her own vodka.
You know what comes out next? Watch the Throne.
No, watch the Tiara.
Watch the Tiara.
Every little girl wants to be her, and every pedophile wants to be with her.
So true.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks.
Oh, that was good. I liked it. Oh. Hey, shut up!
Hey, man, I've been doing podcasts for...
Hey, shut up!
You should have told him to suck your pants.
I really should have. I couldn't do any... I'm terrible with conflict. I just stand to the side and giggle.
And giggle, yeah.
So
giggle.
I just like stand up there with the microphone giggling. And I giggle more when things get awkward. So it's just like a fucking pure stream of just continuous giggling.
Yeah, surprisingly, it doesn't end conflict often.
No.
Weird, though.
Yeah.
Because I think they teach that.
Well, it's either that or I insult their scarf, and that doesn't end conflict very well either.
That's actually conflict escalation.
Still, exactly. Still giggling, though, just the whole time.
Oh, both are giggle fest either way. But one does nothing, and one escalates
that
conflict.
That is true. So, Burnsy, I'm told we're doing a holiday music special.
Yeah, I put together a collection of my favorite holiday songs. They're mostly Christmas songs. I do apologize that I didn't put together enough Hanukkah songs, but
you son of a bitch! There are so many amazing Hanukkah songs. I'm surprised you didn't find all.
No, there's literally
including
no
the Hanukkah song and others.
Dreidel. That's it. There's only two.
Hanukkah songs offend me.
That's yeah. It just reminds you of Jesus' death.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can understand.
Well,
that.
And this war on Christmas. Like, I can't say Happy Holidays because there might be some dirty Jew around.
No, these are no, Christmas. Why,
I mean, you're I supposed say, to say Happy Holidays.
I can't
holidays.
Say Merry Christmas. Well, they've got me confused. These Jews. You see what they do?
Yeah, we're so tricky. We trick you.
I love when people act like they're ruining Christmas. They're making me say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. This is the worst thing that's ever happened.
The holiday is about Christmas. It's not just a holiday. It's Christmas.
Well, yeah. What's funny is the outrage is invented by fake outrage because, like, most people wouldn't be offended by Merry Christmas. They'd just be like, I don't do that, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah, exactly.
There's, like, the overly PC people that have to be like, hey, someone on the off chance they might get offended, you can't do that. And then they're like, oh, I can't do this. I thought this was America. Yeah. You know,
it's like it's double like, fake outrage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like so many layers of outrage.
Yeah.
That like hey. Bill O'Reilly is so angry at something that
meanwhile,
doesn't even really exist.
Like, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's like, motherfucker, you took a Roman yeah. festival where people danced around trees yeah. and turned it into
you
like a
you bought
Christian
your
thing.
Fucking 8-year-old an iPad. Jesus would hate that.
Motherfucker, Jesus was born in February.
Anyway, we all know it's about Santa anyway.
Yeah.
It's not really about Jesus.
He got stabbed in the dick so you could give your 8-year-old an iPad. I hope you're happy. I hope you can fucking sleep at night, Bill O'Reilly. You whiny, weepy cunt.
But it is nice to be able to put a live tree inside
hey,
your home.
I've been doing talk shows
hey,
for 17
Bill O'Reilly,
years.
Shut up!
No, but seriously, being able, I've always wanted to put a tree with lights on it inside my home. And now I have a reason to.
It's kind of a weird thing to do. When
what
you
are you
think,
talking
when you,
about?
When you break it down.
What are you talking
it's a
about?
Weird.
Ben, are you talking about maybe doing like a Hanukkah bush?
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's just a tumbleweed.
You know, I like to have a tree.
Hey, Fake Brett, what's up?
Hey, sometimes I like to put a bush in my house and you put squirrels in it. I mean, you don't even have to decorate the tree. You just have the squirrels. They're running around the tree all the holidays and all kids watch. It's pretty good.
Do you set up, like, drawing events where people come
over? Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. You know, we put easels around the tree, and then I teach all the kids to, you know, bring all the kids from the neighborhood in, and they, well, hey, this is how you know, kind of like, I teach them how to draw the tail, and then, I specialize in the tail, so, I have to bring in someone else from work to draw the rest of the squirrel.
Are there ever any problem like the squirrels biting any of the kids or anything?
Oh, no, never. You know, squirrel's a gentle animal. It mates for life, and once it picks a tree, it doesn't leave that tree.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know, you bring your Christmas tree into your house, and the squirrels go with it when it goes out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You just take the tree out and the squirrels go with it?
What ends up happening to the squirrels, Fig Brett?
Doesn't the tree die?
No, well, they go with the tree.
Would you like tree heaven?
No, they have a ceremony with the tree, and they stay with their tree because the squirrels are very loyal. Most people don't know that about squirrels.
I had no idea.
Well, I figured because they mate for life that they're somewhat loyal.
Oh yeah,
they at least have a sense of loyalty.
They mate for life. They climb trees. They climb the same tree for life. They find.
I really. This is always so. It's such an educational experience.
Fake Brett starts talking.
Yeah. I feel like we're all just becoming much smarter people when it comes to squirrels.
And sometimes, you know, you don't have to put the lights on the tree. You just put the lights right on the squirrels. And, you know, it illuminates different parts of the... It's very beautiful.
Yeah, and then it just moves around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know you were such a fan of Christmas trees with squirrels.
Oh, yeah. Christmas is my favorite season.
So are you really feeling the... Do you say Merry Christmas or you say Happy Holidays?
Oh, I say Happy Holidays. You know, try to be real polite to everybody. You know, whatever, respectful of all their beliefs, whatever animal they like to draw.
Even if it's not a squirrel?
Yeah.
What would you say your least favorite animal to draw is?
I hate manatees.
What's it about the manatee that you hate to draw?
They're not furry at all. They don't run around. They just kind of float there, and they're
kind of lazy.
Not much going on.
Kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're polygamous too.
Oh, I did not. I did not.
They definitely
them.
Don't mate for life.
Not surprise me.
All right. Well, that was very, very informative.
Hey, I gotta
where's Fake Brett go?
I gotta go, you guys. You know, I got some stuff to do.
Well, hey, Fake Brett, where are you going?
Thanks for stopping by, though.
Oh yeah, sure.
Wow, that's always such
always illuminating.
It really is. By. I seriously didn't know. I had no idea about that. All right. Well, the holiday spirit is obviously in the air.
Oh, hey guys, what happened? I
think you took a big dump.
Yeah, I had to tinkle. Yeah.
Did you lose your sunglasses?
No, not this time.
Oh, good.
I don't have them anymore.
Wait, what was the end of that joke?
Yeah, what happened to your sunglasses?
The end of the joke is, hey, shut up.
No, the end of the joke was I was talking about putting your sunglasses on your head and then losing them when you bend over to take a closer look at the dump you just took.
Yeah,
and then I was like, I just like to see what my bowels have been up to all day.
It takes a turn, Brett. It's called a turn joke.
It's not really a big joke. It's just sort of a one-off sort of.
It's
like,
it's how you hook the people at the very beginning.
Just sort of a thing. Yeah, it's not. I wouldn't even call it a bit. It's just sort of like something I say before I start doing bits.
It's very good.
Yeah. Anywho,
the Christmas spirit really is in the air, though.
Yeah,
lights are going up. What's it like in Florida? Is there a lot of Christmas spirit?
Absolutely. This is the most. I live 30 minutes away from a town called Christmas.
Wow.
They must get real serious with their decorations.
They're decorated year round because they named the city after the holiday because they're fucking morons.
Well, they're really banking on that tourism business for that week.
The post office in Christmas, Florida is the busiest post office in the world on Christmas Day or the week before.
Why,
or
are people
like that.
Sending like Santa letters there or something?
Yeah, they send all the little redneck children from around the country send their letters to Santa asking for daddy to stop hitting mommy.
I
Christmas
know where Santa
floor.
Lives. Florida!
Yeah, well, he moved there. I did. So Hawaii has a lot of Christmas spirit. They're really into Jesus Christ and Santa in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Very, very big.
Ben just got back from Hawaii for everyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, that's where I missed one of my first broadcasts. Anyway, I always like the crazy over decorated homes. There was one home with a lot of the blow up. There was a blow up Mickey Santa, a blow up other humongous Santa, and then a huge blow up like snow globe thing, just all over their lawn. And then just lights everywhere. It's
like a Mickey dressed like a Santa?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's Mickey Santa.
All right.
Yeah, they were really serious about their decoration. But then my favorite was all the little trinkets with Santa and shorts and a Hawaiian shirt. I really enjoyed that.
I would buy an inflatable Jesus.
Yeah, there was no inflatable Jesus.
I don't think
Jesus
they make
eye.
Those.
Jesus eye.
Well, because Jesus is a baby during Christmas.
But I like grown-up Jesus.
I know.
Yeah.
Better with the beard.
Yeah. He's all ripped.
Yeah. He's fucking jacked.
He's fucking yoked.
Dude. It's, if
you're busting up out the cross like, bah, bah, ah.
Yeah. There actually is. I've seen some sort of painting.
That's
drawing.
A great, yeah.
Yeah. Just Jesus is
busting
ripped,
out the cross.
And he's snapping the two ends off of the cross where his arms have been hammered in.
I don't know if you saw this. I saw this article about these things. I think they're called like Kaganers or something. It's a Catalonian tradition where they hide like a little figurine of a celebrity taking a shit somewhere in the nativity scene.
Oh, that's so weird.
And you're like...
And it's like Michael Jackson taking a shit.
Yeah. And it's supposed to be good luck to who finds it or something like that. It's pretty awesome.
How small? Is like a micro machine size?
You know, somewhere around there, I would say.
It was like Polly Pocket size.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with Polly Pocket.
Polly Pocket? I mean, neither do I.
Is it an Urkel?
Play with those.
We had a Polly Pocket in my class in elementary school.
Yeah, we had one.
Because she was this really, she wasn't an actual dwarf, but she had arthritis and she was very small.
Oh no, we actually had the toy Polly Pocket.
Oh no, we had an actual.
People
called Polly Pocket because she had a disability. Kids are nice.
Vince, I can picture you being really friendly to any disabled kid.
I was not the one who did these things.
Yeah, you just giggled.
I always sit in the corner giggling awkwardly.
Writing down jokes in your journal?
Yeah, basically. Jokes that don't work at all, but like, does that joke have an end to it? I don't even understand. What? Where's that going?
Wow.
Burnsy, which of these songs is your favorite?
My absolute favorite?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'd probably have to go with Lemmy's Run Run Rudolph.
Okay.
Okay.
But Dio's God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen is pretty damn awesome, too.
This is pretty legit, I'll give you that.
I love Lemmy.
Is there anything Lemmy can sing and not sound awesome?
No, the national anthem would be amazing.
I love it.
I started playing it expecting to think it was going to be absolutely terrible, and I was like, I want to play this every single Christmas until I die.
Yeah, it starts off and you're like, oh man, this is going to be like the worst cheesy Christmas medley, and then his voice comes in. And
the sad part was, as soon as I was finished with that one, I went to look for a Danzig Christmas song, but there isn't one.
He does not celebrate the birth of Christ.
He's no. Pretty much a dick.
Celebrate Samhain.
Yeah, well, as long as there's French onion soup there and it's hot.
He celebrates the throwing of bricks in the front of his yard.
That's right. Okay, so the Dio one is your second favorite?
Yeah.
Joy to the world. That's my Danzig impersonation.
Holy night!
I love Dio.
It's already a great Christmas song. This is Electric Funeral, isn't it?
No one else really made vibrato cool the way Dio made vibrato
cool.
That
intro rip was totally ripped off from Electric Funeral by Sabbath.
I'm not going to lie. If I knew Christmas songs were like that, I'd be much more inclined to be a Christian.
You would accept Christ in your
life. I would have that saved as one of my Pandora stations.
Yeah. I mean,
I can't wait to have a kid because I want to send my kid to school when they want to, like, the first time that he's old enough to, you know, they start doing their little Christmas shit. And I want to have him bring that song on an MP3 and play that for his class and scare the shit out of his teacher.
We're going to have like MP8s by then.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
No, because that'll be like our records and we'll be hipsters. We'll be cool older guys that are like, oh, I still use MP3 because the sound is crisper.
Right.
Yeah. It's a fair point.
What would you say the next?
Should
I go with Fred Figglehorn after that?
Dear God. Dear God. See, now this you're going to play this and you're going to send me right back to Judah.
Hey, it's Fred!
Oh, Jesus, what the fuck
and
is wrong with that kid?
You're about to see the official music video for my original song,
Stop.
Christmas
Stop it.
This has 19 million views, by the way.
You know, he makes like $300,000-$400,000 just on YouTube.
Shut up!
Yeah. He makes $300,000 per video.
No, I don't think it's that much.
Dude, 19 million views?
It takes a lot of views to get paid.
No, don't.
So yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
That kid figured out.
He like figured out a trick in the Matrix.
He really did. He found a glitch in the Matrix.
He really did.
Because is this a fucking thing?
That's a thing.
Kid's into this shit.
Oh, he's
on his third Nickelodeon movie.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like he gets 20 million.
What the fuck?
20 million views per video, and they're all like that.
Who does this?
That kid.
No, I mean like who fucking looks at him with their...
like 10-year-olds.
I've never seen Brett so angry.
I didn't know you never heard Fred before.
10-year-olds, dude. 10-year-olds.
I can understand. I was pretty angry the first time I saw Fred, too.
It's fucking unconscionable.
I'm so angry. It's infuriating. It's just... I would have a heart attack.
But you kind of... like
you want to fucking kick a baby.
like that Ghana movie trailer?
Yeah.
What?
The Ghana watch movie that again? Just
play it again.
Yeah, play it again. Come on.
No. It's a podcast. Come on.
Is that
the African movie trailer that you guys were in love with?
You got it. You got it.
Yeah. A baby gets kicked.
Burnsy, what's your next favorite?
By the way, that is one of the worst sounds on earth right there.
I hate just...
knowing that.
But he just makes these videos where he just talks in a high voice and crosses his eyes and
didn't even get to the song. If you listen to the song, it's so much worse, but I don't even play it because
I'm not going to play it. I won't
play it. It is truly hard for me to listen to.
Imagine
the voice with the most generic pop music set to it.
I wish this person were dead. I genuinely...
He made a Hollywood movie.
And then died?
No, he's still alive, making videos.
So much wishful thinking in that question. And then he died?
Question mark?
All right, I'm going with an executive decision. I'm going with Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden's great.
Are they?
Yeah.
I do like the harmonic screams to start it off.
All right, this is horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That's the worst metal one yet.
Yeah.
I like how Iron Maiden is supposedly super metal because they put like the scary guys on their album covers.
Yeah, Eddie.
Yeah, but they're not very metal. Brandon can attest to that.
Well,
come on, Brandon, what's your take?
Well, there's some conflict, right? Like, so I saw Maiden play like
they're the most Spinal Tap esque of all the metal bands,
right? So no, they definitely are, but they did
play
their
the new stuff.
Yeah. Oh god, what they, play the what old they stuff. Called? They called a tour that was like Back Through Time, and they played like all their shit from the 80s, and it was awesome. And then last time I saw them, and I think I talked about this, I'm like, like podcast number two.
You were going to start a letter writing campaign.
Oh yeah, I never did. I got really lazy after that. But yeah, we went, they played a song that was new, and we're all like, okay, whatever this song is, whatever. And then Bruce Dickinson is like, hello, San Francisco! We're in Concord, which is like 60 miles east. Thank you.
Sorry.
And we're like, you know, how you doing? And we're like, oh, yay. You know, and he goes, we're going to play some new stuff for you. And we're like, no, we don't want that. Yeah. And that's, that was the last time I saw Iron Maiden in concert. It was miserable.
Burns, I noticed you found some Scott Weiland off his new album of Christmas songs.
He has a full album.
Oh, yeah, bless Jesus.
I included those on the list because it's fascinating.
Christmas is
time to exchange some presents.
Frankincense, frankincense, frankincense.
Where the elves that bind her?
Deck the halls with bounty of glory.
It sounds like that.
That was for Scott Weiland's, if you didn't know what that was, Burnsy.
That was pretty awesome.
That'd be a great band, For Scott Weiland. We're a barbershop quartet.
I would travel the country with that band.
For Scott Weiland's the barbershop quartet.
Burnsy,
I would open up with eight.
Over there.
What was that, Burnsy?
I would open up with eight Adam Levines.
Oh, ooh, that would be tough to compete with in suckiness. We're going to try to book some shows in Orlando with Scott Weiland.
And the opener for eight Adam Levines would be 16 lead singer of Incubuses.
I can get you a gig at the bar on Christmas.
Booyah. Oh,
that's got to be the most happiest bar on the planet.
The bar.
Just all fucking sad drunk Santas.
Is it called the North Pole?
I guess.
That's the strip club.
What is this?
This is Scott Weiland.
Ooh.
Wow, this is depressing.
He sounds like shit.
Oh no, he found the heroin stash.
Yeah.
His brain's just fried.
He has a whole album like this?
Wow. It's the whole album. Every song sounds like that.
Who would listen to that on purpose? That's very sad.
Burnsy.
Burnsy, you bought the album of MP3s,
look,
didn't
I
you?
I bought it.
Paid 99 cents for it on iTunes.
But it's because I love it.
That was really bad.
Queuing up the next one, but our...
What's the next one, Burnsy?
Internet is not working that great right now.
For good comedy value, I really do love Box Lunch's Eggnog.
Hmm.
Because it's public access TV performance.
All right.
Vince, what does that sound like?
All right, so we'll do one more song.
Burnsy, what's the last song you want to do?
I would suggest Box Lunch's Eggnog, if possible.
Oh, man. I always
Let's do it.
You know where I eat Box Lunches? At your mom's house.
Or Slayer's Jingle Bells is also fantastic.
Well, why don't we do both?
No.
Oh. I want to hear Slayer.
I'm waiting again. Why does YouTube break my computer?
You have an old. You have the old white Mac.
Oh, it's not aluminum.
It's not a single aluminum.
It's not a unibody.
No, it's not a unibody. I'm surprised it even works.
That's a good song.
If you find it too fun to mix the milk with it. Ernie! It's a good accent.
That's great.
That looked like the video for Iron Man by Black Sabbath.
Oh, I don't know why I love that one so much. Just
you know what, Burnsy? Neither do I.
A bunch of guys yelling eggnog is just pretty funny to me.
We can hear a second of Slayer for Brendan.
That's what I'm doing.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Brendan, you said you were listening to...
Yeah, good one, Burnsy.
Suckers.
Burnsy has his own version of Rickroll, which is...
yeah. I can't live without your love and affection.
You know what? It doesn't work on me because I like this song.
It's a great song.
I said it.
It's the greatest song ever written. Song. That's why I do it.
Vince, if we can, in harmony. I can't live without your love and affection.
Ooh, she's like an angel. But that she's been on my mind.
I've never seen Vince so happy.
For time.
Here she comes. Don't know what she's special.
These embassies on my mind. I'm numb as a blind. But soon I just live by this house.
We the bois
do be outside looking in. I've been out of the zoo. Oh, in the zoo to do what I could be by the bois.
We the bois.
I can't live without your love and affection.
I can't live without your love and affection.
Stop! Make it stop! Ladies and gentlemen, that's officially the worst karaoke ever recorded.
That was beautiful!
For the best Christmas song.
Yeah,
ever
that's the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. I'm gonna go jump out the window now.
Brendan and
Vince
were so.
I can't live without your whole tree and your presence.
I've never seen Vince and Brendan simultaneously so happy.
Our favorite thing is gibberish singing.
It is, yeah. The best gibberish singing ever was, it's still Rock and Roll to Me is the best song to do it to. But there was one time we were at a house party and Vince did it so convincingly, singing gibberish to Still Rock and Roll to Me, that like he had grabbed the cord from the Venetian blinds to pull it up, and he was singing into it, and other people were trying to grab it from him to sing gibberish into the cord to the Venetian blinds.
I've never seen anything like that. Singing on its own is not as good as singing into an inanimate object that is not a microphone.
Yeah.
I had an experience very much like that when I was in Russia, and I was in St. Petersburg, and I don't know, people think of Russians as like being like angry and
they're happy vodka drinking
sort
people.
Of dour and I would say they probably are during the day, but at night when they're drunk, god damn, I've never seen so many people so happy. And I was at this bar where they're basically playing American pop songs, like it would be like Nirvana and shit, but it'd be set to reggae, and people would just be like, or set to techno beats and shit. And people would just be jumping along and singing along to it. And this one dude was just like singing into his hand microphone, and people would be, he would stick his hand microphone in people's faces and they would sing to it. And then other people would like grab his hand mic and everybody would sing into it.
Just grabbing his fist. This is a closed fist.
Yeah. Yeah. It was exciting to watch.
Yeah. See, but that's so much more fun than simply singing.
Exactly.
Because you're singing, you're
the hairbrush effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well,
Burnsy, it's been real. I got to get Laramie on the phone because he's hassling
me. Okay.
You're a sweet boy. Don't ever let anyone tell you different.
Burnsy, do you remember what Burnsy's corner is now?
I will never forget.
Okay, good. I don't ever
Don't you ever forget.
I always call my mom right after this is over, and I tell her what a good boy I am.
That's good. I like that.
Mom, wake up. Wake up. I just did another broadcast.
Well, Bernsey, it's been great having you. I can't live without your love and affection.
Neither can I.
And that's the best way to say goodbye.
Boom.
And goodbye. Thanks, Bernsey.
Let's
bloop Laramie in, and he can tell us about all the movies that we have neither seen nor will see.
I've heard of them all.
No, you have not.
I have not.
No, and neither have I.
That is a lie.
That was a lie and a quick retraction.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, good. Hey, good.
Is it fake Laramie?
Hey!
Hey, I'm John Squirrels.
Nicely done.
Very good.
It's like he was listening in on the first part of the broadcast.
If you think I haven't been working on that in my free time, you're crazy.
No, I need another sick day. All right. I'm going to try this in the mirror one more time.
Every once in a while, I feel like I lose my fake Brett voice. I'm like, how did I do that again? I don't even remember.
It's real easy, guys.
There's a cadence to it because, like, you have to kind of not know shit and also kind of, like, bumble, like, oh, yeah, I got like squirrels, you know, it's whatever.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Again, like a week of work right there in the mirror. Just method acting. Just doing the work.
Oh, yeah. So, Laramie, we're going to talk. We're going to do this segment is about awards. Awards, darling.
When is the Oscars that I don't watch?
The Oscars, I believe, is in
June 28th.
No, that is not.
I believe it's in February.
And so, when is
like the official start? When's the first big award show that matters to people?
Well, the SAG Award nominations came out today. Golden Globes are tomorrow. There's been Critics' Choice, New York Film Critics, Los Angeles Film Critics, National Board of Review, AFI, Boston,
San Francisco Film Critics are on there.
Oh, you mean the guys that won't let me in their gay little club?
Have you been
I'm not bitter.
Have you been kicked out of every possible film club at this point?
I was not kicked out, but my first...
Not let in. I apologize. Not let in.
I've been kicked out of nicer critic circles than this.
Kicked out implies at one point in.
That's true. My apologies.
Let's put it this way. My application was not accepted the first time I applied.
How high is the fence for you to hop over and get in?
I don't know. You know, it's one of those things where, if I was writing for a school paper at SF State, they'd be like, oh, yeah, sure.
You can get in.
Yeah, sure.
You know, writing. Yeah, but writing for a blog that gets like you know a million plus visitors a month, they're like film drunk. That sounds way too silly for us.
If you rename it Film Hunk, they'll come to you and ask for you to get in.
Oh yeah, they will. Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, we could go down this list and you give us your thoughts on these movies. Well, first of all. What's your best picture so far? What's your pick? What's the one that you want to see do well in the awards?
I like three movies total for best picture. I like The Descendants. I like The Artist, and I like Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. If you're talking about what I'm cheering for,
yeah.
That's what I'm rooting for.
You saw Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close? I haven't gotten an invite to that yet.
Maybe.
You're losing your touch, Mancini.
You saw that? When did you see that?
He's a credible writer.
Yeah.
They actually sent out screeners as well.
Oh
God. You get sent screeners?
Damn it.
But actually, they just showed up. It was kind of weird. Two girls show up with a pound of blow and the screener, like, throw this in. You'll love it.
And they're wearing robes.
I gave it an A+.
Oh, good times. So you actually like that movie? Stephen Daldry always makes these movies that...
I hated The Reader, but I like that one. Okay. I'm actually under embargo, for real. Okay. Right. And we all know about that. But yeah, I...
Vince doesn't.
I'm cheering for it for Best Picture. It's sad but uplifting.
So that, The Descendants, and The Artist. I haven't seen The Artist yet. One of my friends is actually in that movie, but
is it Bernice Bejo?
Oh, is it me? Oh, I think you dropped a name. This might be yours.
No, I didn't say the name yet.
Yeah. Is it Brett?
But you were close.
Yeah. You sure?
Ben,
is it John
Goodman? What did you think of Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close?
You know, I was a little disappointed. It was a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have tied the main two characters together a little bit better. Their backstories were a little loose.
Yeah, what was your favorite character in that?
Johnny.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay. But, and what did you like about him? And
just
what
was really edgy. And yeah. The actor did a really good job.
Just thought that the resolution at the end at the Air Guitar Championships, it left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. It wasn't
was a little that, sour.
It didn't necessarily come all the way together.
But do you pin that on Sandra Bullock or?
Well, I pin it on weak supporting acting.
Okay,
frankly, I thought maybe a little bit of lazy screenwriting.
But of course, I
always love to blame things on Sandra Bullock.
I was just going to say, not a great script.
Yeah, but you know the acting really tied the whole.
I think that if you put the script in front of the ilk of, you know, your Steven Soderberghs, you know, someone like that,
Charlie Kaufman,
it gets made into a good movie.
But have you seen any of his other stuff? I mean, like,
the ones that have been set in space.
Oh, right.
This is really making.
I've only seen his space pictures.
Yeah, and I feel like he did a good job with that.
Right, they were very spacey.
Yes. Yeah, chock full of space.
And Kevin Spacey was great all of them.
It was a genius casting move.
Yes. It was really, it was unprecedented.
In space.
But there is no precedent of space.
None whatsoever. No.
Laramie, is that pretty much
it? But if there was going to be a president of space, I would vote for Kevin Spacey. I think he has what it takes to run space and do it in the way that space needs to be run.
Space has needed a leader.
It has needed a leader. For a strong leader for a long time.
That is true.
Yeah.
Space needs a representative.
It does. And that representative is Kevin Spacey.
So Laramie,
I'm Kevin Spacey and I approve this message.
Laramie, you actually like that movie because I watched the trailers and it makes me between that and The Iron Lady are my picks for the two trailers that look like they're four movies that will make me want to blow my brains out.
Is that a spinoff of Iron Man?
No, unfortunately.
Iron Maiden?
The Iron Lady?
I want to say the last 3 minutes have made me question a lot of my life choices, because that's pretty much what every critic conversation sounds like, right there. And you didn't even see the movie. So why am I even going? I just sit here. I'm so mad.
Which one? The one that was in space?
Yeah, because it's like, you know, for me, if it would have been, you know, like Soderbergh is like the key. You got to mention Soderbergh, whatever you're talking about.
Wait, you didn't see it?
No, I did see it.
Oh, it was great. They were in space. Kevin Spacey was brilliant.
Who's the other writer that they like? They mentioned him on Entourage a couple times.
Buzz Aldrin.
Charlie Kaufman?
No, it was like Gauguin. I don't know. I won't pretend to know.
Did you say Gauguin?
Spacely?
No, something like Gauguin or something. I don't know.
Gauguin?
Kevin.
Kevin.
Steven Gaga. The guy that wrote Traffic. The guy that wrote Siriana.
Yeah. There you go. Nailed it.
I don't actually know how you pronounce that.
See?
Name.
See?
I am fucking blown away that Ben knows the dude who wrote Siriana, and I have no idea.
All right. Slight digression. I know Brett hasn't seen this, and I think it does play well audio-wise. If you haven't seen the trailer for The Iron Lady...
Is she going to have rocket hands?
It fucking blows my mind. It's about Margaret Thatcher. Meryl
rocket
Street.
Hands.
No, it's
rocket
so...
Well, she, it for is, British rocket.
It is
she needs
so,
iron for atmosphere reentry.
That it would be so awesome far from space. That.
You know, she lands, she's like got the one hand down. She stands up real slow. Yeah, and the missiles come out. She's like, oh, British!
I've seen this one. This one I will not defend.
It looks like
Man,
the worst
Brett,
movie
I think
that's
we're on
ever
this
been
why, made. Why do I care about this?
I just wanted you to see...
Brett. Margaret Thatcher reimagined.
Is she just going to have a really high voice? Because I'm already kind of pissed off about that.
I want you to be as mad as I am about this, that's all.
And so, just to clarify, no rocket hands.
It's basically me going, hey, taste this. This tastes horrible.
That's you do that all the time. I was
Here, I farted. Get over here.
Hey, come here.
Right.
Look at this poop.
Shh. The first lines are key.
Women who stay silent on the arm of her husband. His life must matter, Dennis.
That's why I want to marry you, my dear.
Mrs. Thatcher, one simply has to make you look and sound like the leader that you could be.
This makes me want to fart in someone's face.
In space.
I've tried. I know I will never be truly one of them.
Lady members.
We must say the unsayable.
Methinks the lady doth screech too much.
Jolly good misogyny then, Geralt.
Yeah.
British Parliament is fucking awesome.
It is the best. One thing that like is really rad is watching your parents get old and retire and do weird stuff. Yeah. And my parents get really into watching Questions for the Prime Minister on C-SPAN. They love it.
Why, he's got the teats of a cow.
Yeah, exactly.
If your bottom wasn't so dirty, maybe you would think about wiping the nappies from your wife's face.
Perhaps a gentleman from Shazby's private school education showing through.
Is that British Bill Cosby?
With the blood pudding pops for your breakfast with the beans and toast, man.
That's British Bill Cosby. Vince loves British Bill Cosby.
He's from Cosbyshire.
I am the Honorable William Huxtable from Chicago Shire.
What a lovely Negro.
Hey, I like the Tories and the Labour Party.
Oh, that hurt my whole heart.
Vince is a huge fan of British Bill Cosby.
So what other stupid crap you like? You like that stupid Stephen Daldry movie because you're an idiot, clearly. And then...
you say such mean things to me.
How come, I haven't seen.
How come Drive it can't be nominated for every
Oscar
award?
It is.
Awesome
it's on
award?
There. It's on there.
Because that was awesome.
I never heard of Harry Potter.
You never got to see it or you never paid to see it?
I never got to see it at all. Harry Potter.
Shout things, Brett, please.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. I award Gryffindor 400 points. All right, let me go down the list. These are the movie contenders as you know.
This is going to lead to madness, but go ahead.
It is. But
so now, just to clarify, all the award shows, there's about 4,000 nominees in each category because the Oscars did that.
These are the movies that have been nominated as a Best Picture by one of like the major critic circles / whatevers. It's The Artist. Hugo, haven't seen either of those yet. The Descendants, which I did see. War Horse, seeing that tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to love that.
Moneyball.
See it tomorrow.
Moneyball, which
not
was,
as good, I hear, as War Horse.
Yeah.
War Horse. Horse Wars.
Moneyball, which is as big of a fucking joke as that Margaret Thatcher movie.
If Money Horse were a movie, I'd see it.
Why would whores go to war?
I like Horse Wars as a synonym for nonsense. Like, well, it's just Horse Wars. Why are they even fighting?
You should have done this podcast after you saw War Horse.
Oh, God. Well, that'll be next week's.
You were going to love it so much. Oh, God. I can't even tell you.
Oh, God. Tree of Life, which I haven't seen either.
Mix, you would at least consider seeing that.
Yeah. Midnight in Paris, which was awesome, I will say. That was a fucking great movie. Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, The Help, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy. Isn't it... all these movies came out in the last 2 months. This is so
or
stupid.
They're not out.
Yeah. They actually came out like this month. Like
couple that
all
aren't,
their, it's
that
just so
Friday.
Predictable and
no,
obnoxious.
Well,
Tinker Tailor opens Friday and Dragon's like next week, right?
Yeah. Next Wednesday, I think, or something.
Drive, J. Edgar, which I heard was terrible, right? Didn't you say that was pretty bad?
Correct.
Everybody I've talked to said that movie was really bad.
And I'm the kind of sap who likes Incredibly Loud and Extremely Close, so you know, I don't really have a discerning palate.
A sap indeed, sir!
No, J. Edgar's a fucking nightmare. Never see that.
Harry Potter.
Yay!
The Ides of March. And Bridesmaids, which I mean, it was okay, but I don't even think it's in, like, the top five comedies of
no,
this
Bridesmaids
year.
No, Bridesmaids is that thing they do at the end of every trailer where they're like, see, we can do jokes, too. Like, we got funny stuff here, too. We nominated Bridesmaids. See, we're just like you.
Didn't none of you guys actually saw that?
Nope.
No.
I saw Bridesmaids.
It was, like, it was funny, but it was, like, unedited improv.
I laughed, but there wasn't a part where I really, like, laughed. I giggled, but I didn't. There wasn't a part where I really was, like, laughing.
There was a really good movie in there if they would have edited it.
Charlie Kaufman would have wrote it.
Vince, you know where they needed to look?
Steven Soderbergh.
Nope.
Where?
In the girl parts.
Yeah.
That's where the
girl parts?
That's where the good movie is.
Like, I feel like a dick because it was funny, but I don't know. Like 50-50 was way better.
Yeah, you look like a dick too.
I even thought Our Idiot Brother was a lot funnier than Bridesmaids was.
What movie?
The one with Paul Rudd.
Is that any good? That's free now on Netflix.
It's pretty. You know, as I said, it was a very bad.
Oh, Our Idiot Brother.
It was a bad premise executed well.
Yeah, I don't want to sound gay or nothing, but I would totally French kiss Paul Rudd.
Yeah, me too. I French kiss his nuts.
Wow.
That's I think I don't know that it's called a French kiss.
Laramie?
Sir.
How's it going?
Oh man, so good.
Just checking in on you.
Like I'm sitting here just completely nude. It's really nice.
So Laramie, you mentioned a couple. What else would make your list that's not on that on the list that was just read?
Have you seen Attack the Block? I like Attack the Block.
I like Attack the Block.
I mean, it'll never get a nom or anything because it's like an action film, but I enjoyed that film.
I'm not saying what's going to get an official nom.
Sure.
I'm just saying what's on Laramie's list.
Like things I liked.
I didn't think it was like the best movie that came out this year, but I mean, I would say it's better than 9 out of 10 of the ones I just mentioned.
I'm going to do the sports radio voice for a sec here. You know, this is going to sound controversial, but I'll tell you what. I like that Muppets film.
And oh, by the way... You got to put in, oh, by the way.
The Muppets film is what you need to be successful with the Academy of Arts.
A lot of people out there are going to say, you know, we're going to knock me for liking the Muppets, the most broad comedy possible. I'm going to say I enjoyed it.
You know, the thing about the Muppets is a real motion picture.
Let me
you know?
Tell you about the Muppets. Here's a movie that I like. Here's a movie that I like.
You want to talk about
the Iron Lady? That's just a movie. You want to talk about a movie? You talk about the Muppets. When you talk about a movie that's being considered by the National Academy of the Arts for an Oscar picture, you talk about the Muppets.
And oh, by the way.
And oh, by the way.
It's not nominated.
It's not even nominated.
It's just real Smash Mouth filmmaking.
You want to watch what Jason Segel does right here? Watch this. Bam. He crushes you with this song. Oh, by the way, written by Flight of the Conchords.
We got to put it. It's actually an and oh, by the way, I think.
And oh, by the way. Yeah. I know it's not nominated, but I did enjoy The Muppets. That's a film I enjoyed this year.
So, Brendan, what is your favorite of those films that we just mentioned?
Oh,
you know what? Hold on. I'm going to cut him off. Young Adult, I think you'd enjoy, Vincent.
I saw it. I didn't like it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Saw it? Didn't like it.
Didn't you think I described it as like it felt like an in-between movie. Like it couldn't decide whether it wanted to be like a good movie or like a genre comedy.
So here's the deal. If it's written by Diablo Cody, you are supposed to like it. That's just how it works.
No, I liked everyone involved. Jason Reitman I love. I like Diablo Cody. Obviously, Patton Oswalt. Everybody, like I went into it thinking like this is a movie made up of people that I enjoy. And I didn't really like it.
I liked that it was massively awkward, like for real. I actually liked how uncomfortable I was watching it.
I liked the awkward, but it was like there was all these like stupid movie genre tropes where the characters the characters said each other's names so many times that I eventually started marking down every time that they said each other's name unnecessarily, and I think I got to like 20 before I quit.
Did you think it was weird when she drowned the cat with her bare hands? Like, I know that's a metaphor for her discovering her sexuality, but that cat was really struggling. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, it was. I mean, and
anyway,
when she shaved it, it was.
And where was the pee on that one?
No, but they kept doing that thing where it was like, Mavis, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't know, buddy, blah, 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 blah.
They didn't even say words. They just said blah.
Yeah.
That would get old so fast.
But you know when bad movies do that where they constantly say the character's name that they're addressing? It bugs the living shit.
They're doing every Guy Ritchie movie.
And by the way, Guy Ritchie movie coming
Turkish.
Out soon.
I can't believe
I give British people the
Sherlock
leeway.
Holmes, not good.
Well, Tommy.
There you go.
I never saw the first
Don't
one.
Don't I, Tommy.
Don't I, Tommy.
I like the first one. I do not like the second one.
If we ain't got a fucking bare knuckle fighter, Tommy. Then we ain't got a fucking fight then, ain't it?
I do enjoy Snatch, I will say.
That's a great movie.
It's a quality film.
But speaking of young adults.
I walked right into that one.
Bing, bang, boom.
You didn't think the part where, Patton Oswalt, like, the jocks, like, beat him up because they thought he was gay. Like, I don't know, it just seemed like the cheapest attempt at, like, fake gravity.
Did you ever see Big Fan?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Because that one made me angry for the same reason. It was like people who'd never played sports or watched sports are like, this is how people who watch sports are. I'll write a movie about it. And it, like, it has nothing to do with anything sports related.
Is that the one with Robert De Niro?
No, that's
the fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one, Patton Oswalt plays like a deranged Giants fan who like wants to kill the Eagles players
pretty,
or something.
Pretty sure that's the one with Robert De Niro.
That's Iron Man.
I didn't hate Big Fan. I just thought it needed like three more characters. It was just like,
It was like one dude, and that was it. I was like, all right, I need a little more.
I saw that. It just didn't have there wasn't a lot to it.
There wasn't enough to it. Yeah, enough going on in this movie.
It was sort of eh.
Like, yeah. I guess compared to that, I felt like young adult had some things going for it.
Hey, Patton Oswalt was great. Like, if it was just that Patton Oswalt character of like the slightly bitter disabled nerd who makes like artisan whiskey in his garage, I would fucking watch that in a heartbeat. But
don't you kind of like the idea that you're Patton Oswalt, you hang around, you hang around, you hang around, eventually Charlize gets drunk enough to nail you?
Yeah,
isn't that a positive life?
That scene was fantastic, but the whole rest of the movie was just sort of like, it was like they had like the mean girls stereotype woman there. I don't know, it was just like a whole lot of stereotypes and phony movie bullshit for me to take it seriously as like a non-genre movie.
So A++?
I didn't hate it. It was like, it was all right. It wasn't like, it just wasn't great.
So what's the Oscar favorite?
It's The Artist and Descendants right now are 1-2.
Harry Potter.
Wait, what's The Artist?
The Artist is the silent film.
You're going to love it.
Black and white.
Shut up. It is not silent.
It is a silent
movie. I want you to both shut your mouths.
How do you get all the robot sounds in?
So the Transformers transform in silence?
How do you play dubstep in silence?
Seriously, how do you wear pointy boots and dance in silence? Wait, is it even like have the old timey where they cut away to words?
Yes, it does.
Zounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Now I don't believe you.
It's true. No, there's
a horse was to that.
That's a horse was.
Horse was.
Wait, seriously?
Here's where the problem's going to be. It's if Hawes was makes a run at a real film like The Artist or Descendants, I'm going to get infuriated.
That cannot be a good movie. Like, I've seen the trailer for Warhorse.
It doesn't matter.
It looks like the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Wait, seriously.
I've seen the film.
I need clarification. So The Artist is a silent movie in black and white.
It is. Yes.
And it's real. This happened, and it's a favorite for Best Picture.
Yes.
So if the four of us, five of us, Laramie, you're invited. We just need to make a silent picture in black and white, and we automatically jump to the head of the Academy line.
We're going to have to smell a lot of our own farts first,
That's
though.
Fine. That is fine. I can do that. I can handle that.
This kind of brings me to another topic/question. Like, do you think...
Wait, those are two different...
Did you just slash?
I think those are... I think those are mutually...
I did slash. Sorry, I've been drinking.
By the way, I think those are mutually exclusive.
Semicolon.
Slash is the art version of... by the way.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Vince segwaying. Watch this right here.
Yeah.
Boom. Boom. He segwayed, and by the way.
No, but do you think that the awards films have segregated themselves into like such an insular corner that they're almost to the point that they're almost irrelevant at this point? Like, I mean, it used to be that the awards movies were movies that people picked that they thought were the best that came out that year. And now it's like there's all these movies that, like the fucking Iron Lady, the only reason that they made that goddamn movie was so that fucking Meryl Streep could win a actress Oscar. There's like a whole genre of movies where their only purpose is to be awards movies, and it's almost a completely separate, distinct species of movie.
Wait,
at this
You're surprised that if Hollywood became a gigantic, bloated parody of itself, that it wouldn't try and suck its own dick? Like, that's the part that surprises you?
No, I'm not surprised.
Your outrage.
I'm surprised at the lack of self-awareness that there's, like, there's a
Hold on. Broad films do get Oscar nominations. Avatar, you know, Inception, Dark Knight. They make trillions of dollars, and they get noms, too. The films that win, Hurt Locker, King's Speech, tend to be the films that they're looking to bank on DVD that didn't necessarily have broad appeal commercially. So in that sense, you're right. It's become a vehicle for home video sales, and that's happened over the last 20 years, that particular segregation.
But I'm not even talking about that. I mean, like, I saw a lot of good movies this year that are not even in the conversation, just because when they came, like, before they even came out, there just wasn't that there wasn't that aura of, oh, this is an Oscar bait movie. It seems like before the fucking movie is even made, you know whether it's an Oscar movie.
When did you stumble onto this, though? Like, I remember fucking watching the Training Day bullshit back in, you know, what is that, 2003?
Dude, the Hurt Locker was not like an Oscar bait movie.
Yes, it was.
You think so? I think it was an action movie.
I don't think so. I don't think it was.
It was like a good action movie.
Did The Hurt Locker win the Oscar?
Yeah, it did.
It did?
Best picture?
Wow, no shit.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be some really awful movie.
Hold on. It was a non-political Iraq war film from a lady director. You don't think that has a little bit of an Oscar feel to you?
Maybe, but that was actually, after the fact. But she, I mean, that's the, chick directed Point Break. Like, she was just trying to make a really good action movie.
I got to go with Vince on this one. It was just a competently done action movie.
Yeah, I just thought it was good.
I still think your fucking outrage is misplaced. Like, this has never been good, and you're like, oh, when did it get so bad? It's never been. It's always been a circle jerk.
It's always been a circle jerk.
It hasn't been this bad, though. It really hasn't.
I think it's always been. I
agree that it has been a circle jerk, but not like this, where they've made the movies where the only movies that are considered in the Oscar conversation are the movies that they made expecting to be in the Oscar conversation.
I would say that today there's a much more specific segment and genres of movies. Like, you get the Saw movies that are very specific.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You get Saws and Oscar movies. Those are your two categories.
You get Saws, you get the Oscar movies, you get, like, the Hangover comedy sort of movies. You get the Transformer big, you know, there's Battleship and Transformers and now all the Marvel ones. So I feel like there's very specific categories. And the Oscar ones, it's the King's Speech. All those King's Speech type movies, which is I'm Margaret Thatcher.
Like,
I'm here to collect my Academy Award.
King's Speech,
give me a BAFTA.
King's Speech is like the ultimate Oscar movie, where they just released it expecting it to be an Oscar movie.
But
like,
that's a marketing thing as much as
I know. But I'm just saying, like, I actually saw quite a few good movies this year, and none of them are even in the awards conversation because they didn't like have that fucking.
It's because your medium is dead.
It's like any other award, though. It's like
genrefication. Yeah, it's like you know who buys fucking albums now? Hipsters and
it's like the same shit as any other awards. It's like the Heisman. You know, it's like who got the hype. You know,
well, okay. Yeah, but here's the problem with that. Like, the predictions and when films come out become the actual story, right?
Right.
Like, if your movie comes out in November or December, it's going to be considered for Oscar. If it comes out in February, it's not going to be. It's just not going to happen. Just like when they say Robert Griffin III is predicted to be the Heisman winner. Well, guess what? In 3 weeks, he's going to be the Heisman winner, because every Heisman voter brings up ESPN and says, who the fuck should I vote for? Because I don't watch every goddamn game.
Right.
I guess I shouldn't be as surprised by the stupidity of people.
Vince, that's our whole point.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But seriously, do you not?
You really
do
listen
you disagree
to us.
That it wasn't. It was not this bad like 2 or 3 years ago.
No, it wasn't this bad.
It wasn't as calculated.
But you shouldn't be surprised.
When Crash won in 2005, that was the golden era.
Oh.
But it's similar circle jerk to music, like the Grammy Awards.
The Grammys have always been a joke.
I think the Oscars are a joke too,
but not. They're not half of the joke that the Emmys and the Grammys.
I'm half a joke. I used to be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think in general, the Academy considers themselves arbiters of taste, but they usually lag 10 to 15 years behind actual good movies, which is why. The Coen brothers eventually will get awarded, you know, like they do for No Country for Old Men, but it's going to take them 20 years of work. You know, they're not going to get awarded.
Don't get me wrong. I've thought that they were complete clowns like since 95 when Forrest Gump beat out Pulp Fiction. Like, I mean, it's been since I was like 15 when I ever gave them any credit.
Like,
but
Shakespeare in Love beat Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, but I just I don't know.
Come on, man. Shakespeare in Love was awesome, even though I never saw it.
I still think that this year is the worst year I've ever seen where marketing completely dictates nomination.
I feel like, first of all, it's always been like that, and second of all,
always been like that to a certain degree, but it has not been this bad. It just hasn't.
When you see movies like, I mean, I keep saying The King's Speech because I feel like that was the ultimate, we're going to make this to try to win Oscars. I feel like it fits into a certain genre that will probably make money because of the Oscar hype.
Yes.
There's a lot of people, older, white, gray hair, that want to see. Let's go to the theater and watch
King's Speech.
I hear this new Margaret Thatcher movie is quite enthralling.
I wish more old people.
Steel Lady.
We're like Statler and Waldorf from the Muppets. We're like the King's Speech. More like the King couldn't give a speech.
Yeah.
The Academy will always, you know, if you look at the matchup, you can very easily call where they're going to go. And like, even if you look like way, you know, not way back, but four decades ago, 1976, Rocky beats Taxi Driver. Well, come on, Rocky. I mean, we all know it's a good movie, but it was the best picture of 1976. They picked Hurt Locker over Avatar, saying basically, hey, we don't want that much CGI on our films because that puts actors out of work.
Or just James saying Cameron. This was a way fucking better movie and like in every facet.
I'm back on Laramie's side. But it doesn't matter if it's better.
I mean, he's got a point. The correct thing won out for the wrong reasons, right?
Okay, yeah, fair. Yeah, so, yeah. No, I'll agree with that for sure.
They don't give a shit that it was a competently done action movie for possibly.
Well, I mean, my not necessarily everyone agrees, but I think The Dark Knight was fucking awesome.
Agreed.
Way better than Batman Begins and a lot of stuff. There's no way in a trillion years that would ever win Best Picture or Best Director or anything. Okay. And it's not that the movies are relevant. It has to be fit into the special category. Of
like Seven was better than Social Network. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
Seven was awesome.
Seven was a profound statement of movies.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
For Fincher movies, Fight Club blew my mind.
Oh, Fight Club's amazing.
Blew my mind.
Like, and Trainspotting is a fantastic movie. Yeah. It had no prayer of being nominated. And you look at like The English Patient, Beach Fargo. Come on, that's insane. That's clearly insane.
That is a perfect that's illustration. That's a great example.
So, Vince, I think your anger is misguided.
But I all things considered, I think The Hurt Locker was a better movie.
Incidentally remember being like 20 years old and like being so angry at like any. Negative review of Fight Club, and like I'll still stand by how much I love Fight Club, but being so like 20 and being like move over, Roger Ebert, your generation's passed you by. Fight Club is my generation zeitgeist.
I posted a review where it was insanely harsh on Fight Club, where
you were film drunk during Fight Club?
No, I recently posted this because God damn, I wish I could find it. It was like this guy actually compared it to like the rise of Nazism and basically blamed like the rise of Nazism on Fight Club.
The rise of Nazism Fight Club?
He's basically like
add these
the mindset that makes this people like this movie is the exact same mindset that started Nazism.
Really?
Disenfranchised assholes, that's all.
Outlets that gave Fight Club a bad review include, but are not limited to, the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post. Oh, by the way, film.com back in the day.
And oh,
Roger
by the way,
Ebert, Entertainment Weekly. I mean, people lined up to hate Fight Club.
I'll be honest. I love Fight Club as like for what it was, but the ending's pretty shitty.
Yeah, but all right. We all agree the ending didn't work out, but it is the most infinitely watchable film of our time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I've watched that movie about 20 times.
Oh, here it is.
I'm not a fucker that buys DVDs.
I found the review for you guys.
You gonna read the whole review?
I'll read parts enough of it to where you guys get the picture. But like, this is the kind of shit that people were writing. It's from this guy from the Evening, Alexander Walker from the Evening Standard. My verdict on Fight Club is already in. It is an inadmissible assault on personal decency and on society itself. At its Venice Film Festival world premiere in September, it caused well-justified outrage as a movie phenomenon well in line with the current tentative but threatening revival of Nazism.
Press pause for 1 second. Yeah. If you're referencing how people felt about the film in your review, you are bullshit. How did you feel about the film?
Yeah.
Well, it played in Venice. Who gives a shit? What did you think about the movie? Why did you like it or not like it?
Side note, I was in Venice for this review, and you should have heard what people were saying.
you paused it before it gets even worse.
Oh, by
this
the way.
This guy is the Peter King of movie reviews.
In particular, it alarmed my Jewish film critic friends.
Oh, God. I have Jewish friends. Also black friends.
They saw its story, correctly, I think, as a paradigm of the Hitler state. Even though it is set in contemporary America, it's not simply about young guys beating the hell out of each other with bare fists and secret fight clubs. Its story may be insane and septic, but it uncritically enshrines principles that once underpinned the politics of fascism and ultimately sent millions of Jews to the death camps.
Pause again?
Yeah.
If anything, it's a deeply socialist thing. Like, fundamentally
it's
confused,
very
their authoritarian.
If you want to look at a fascist movie, remember the Titans. That's fascist. It's a bunch of people working towards one goal with one leader at the top.
Yeah.
That is such a weird reach.
Like, yeah. No.
Like, all right, so you guys, sorry to interrupt, but you guys write reviews. I mean,
my Jewish friends do.
Well, I don't write reviews. I just give my opinions. Do you feel like there's a lot of reviewers that just try to grab onto some really, really weird, you know, concept to get their review read?
You know what it is?
Does that make sense?
No, no, no. What it is it comes from academia, and there's this thing that I think started like in the 70s where it's basically like close reading, where academia in the 70s, basically to be like the big dick academic on the block in the 70s, was you would take something and you would do like a quote unquote close reading, which was basically you're assigning like Freudian symbolism to every fucking thing.
And taking it way out to left field.
Taking it so far. And basically, like, they thought you were a great academic if you could just take this guy's...
Take this guy's thing where
he filmed a scene where, I mean, basically he framed it so, you know, you wouldn't see the fucking buildings in the background. And then you're looking at it and you're like, oh, the way he filmed this, it clearly represents
A
fugue state of the fucking...
dystopian.
Of the dystopian fascist mind and the symbolism. And, of course, well, there's all this... phallic symbol. You know,
it's just academic peacocking.
It's, yeah, exactly.
It's Armin
it's
Whiteism.
Exactly what it is.
It's Armin Whiteism at its best.
It's like it's your.
I like that. By the way, I like that. That's become a topic you can study now.
Yeah.
Armin Whiteism. You're subverting the actual work and the actual artist in order to like put yourself on this sort of academic peacocking pedestal. Like, look at my big Freudian cock of like I can assign symbolism to the most minuscule bullshit, and everybody was like impressed by this for some reason.
I went to Venice.
Yeah.
Armin White did have a nice little piece today on Denby. Did you see that?
I did not. No.
He crushed him. And
did he really?
Oh, it was beautiful. I'll read one sentence off it because I thought it was pretty impressive.
I do like. I feel like he does have a he shits on some of those a lot of those New York critics rightly in a lot of cases.
Here's what he said about Denby. Well, give me the Armin White voice. Maybe I can copy it. Go. How's it sound?
I don't even remember.
I
am Armin White Hammond.
It's basically just Foghorn Leghorn.
Film critic for the New York Bull Moose Society of
the
Critics.
The Bull Moose Society of the 1934 World's Fair.
I'll just read it. Yes. Denby's excuse that he never published an early negative review proved to many reviewers feel complicit in helping promote movies rather than critiquing them. And that was the whole problem with that argument, where Denby was like, hey, Scott Rudin, I never would have published it if I didn't like your movie. Yay. Like, that's what threw me with that whole non-controversy.
Yeah.
But, oh, Armand, we love you. I just think a lot of people are bad at their jobs. And I think that goes for every facet of everywhere. And you go to somewhere new and you think, like, in this field, people will really rock it. And I'm going to be surrounded by geniuses. And invariably, someone's an idiot. And I'm sure, like, you go to NASA and you're like, now I'm in. These guys know what they're doing. And some idiot's up there doesn't know what he's doing.
I love Adam Carolla's point where he has a running I don't know what you'd call it, theory. He has a running theory where I had no idea adults were going to be this stupid, and I feel like that's just really sums up everything.
We like staying in a perpetual state of stupidity. We like sort of maintaining a status quo of stupidity.
Do you remember when you're in like high school or maybe even like college, maybe like your first couple years of college, and you like go into like, you know, Kinko's, and there's like someone working the front desk, and you're like, how'd they get that job? You're like, that person got a job. Like, that person has a job. Like, you ascribe this like importance to like them having a job, and then you realize like, oh wait, like 90% of the people that are actively employed are just like a stuffed shirt.
Yeah.
Well,
you grow up thinking like, oh, somebody's, I don't know shit, but somebody's got to know shit.
Yeah.
And then you grow up, you know, you're looking for someone that knows shit, and then you realize, no, nobody knows shit.
Well,
and the people that are successful are the people that can convincingly
they can play the shell game. Yeah, it's all
they
a big
confuse
shell game.
people into thinking that I'm the one who knows shit. Everybody's looking for someone who knows shit, and if you can convince other people that you are the guy that actually knows shit, man,
it's a big,
you got it made.
It's a big shell game.
Yeah. I think Lorne Michaels said, I'm always freshly disappointed in just how lazy and stupid people are. Like, it gets me every time. Like, I can't believe it. Like, it just shocks me. That's where it is.
Laziness makes more sense. Stupidity is different.
You're a fascist.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I just think The stupidity.
What's going on?
I don't know. You don't really. I don't know why you have to hide that from the Frogcast audience, Brendan.
What's going on over there?
Oh, my girlfriend's locked out of my apartment because I forgot to leave the door open.
Oh.
So.
Hey.
Brendan's going to leave us now.
Yeah.
Okay. I gotta go.
Good night and good chins.
Hey, I'll pretend to be Brendan while he's gone.
You guys should make two.
Shut up, dude. Hey. I do a good Brendan.
Hey, you guys know I play football. You just fucking undid my headphones.
Hey, if he's gonna leave, he's gonna go out with a bang.
Hey, I got you guys some spite.
Wait, hold on. What kind of domestic situation does he have where he doesn't give a key to his girlfriend and he has to go let her in? What the hell?
She's visiting from New York.
He can't hear you right now, so you should talk a lot of shit.
She's visiting.
Should say any mean thing you can think of, Laramie, because now is the time. He can't hear you.
Yeah.
Is it an escort?
Well, you know what I learned? You know what I learned when I was playing football? Is
two things, and by the way,
low man wins.
The low man wins always.
I thought he was gone.
I love he'll unplug your headphones, but won't turn off his mic as it rolls around in his messenger bag.
Is he really not coming back? Because I'm a little sad now.
Now he's gone. Also, keep your head on a swivel.
Two good points.
I thought his interview voice for the sports thing was fantastic. You know, we just got to go out there, give it our all, 110%. The other team's playing really well, too. We're on a streak, and just work together and go out there as a team.
Yeah. What is it? You have the legs of a lineman, but the heart of a ballerina?
Yes.
It is true.
And the ability to move you.
The soul of a dancer.
So he's in a long-distance
Suck my dick.
Yeah.
He's in an LDR.
That's true. Yeah, that's the truth.
With a girl from New York.
Well, speaking of, that's a good segue into our relationship questions for this week.
Oh, we got some.
We did, yeah.
Nice.
Why do we get these? We're really bad at this.
Yeah, well,
we really are. Probably the worst advice you could get.
Yeah, from anyone.
Well, here's an easy one. We'll start with an easy one.
Hold on. I like the ones where it's like, I'm 16, and this girl, I kind of want to have sex with her, but I'm not sure if I should. And the answer is always, yes, you should.
I don't know. I don't know if I should take all this raw pussy sitting out on my table, just going to waste. What should I do? People I don't know. And we're like, hey.
Listen up.
Let's take it. You
fuck that raw pussy.
I got news for you, son. You fucked that.
Yeah, that's
pussy.
When Vince gets really serious and he says, hey, "Hold up, guys, you fuck it,
yeah,
you fuck it."
Dear Frogcast, my girlfriend lives in New York, and sometimes she comes to visit me, and I lock her out. Is this passive aggressive or aggressive aggressive?
This one comes from us. Tim Mike. I don't know if I'm allowed to give the name, but we'll call Tim Mike. 23 and lost. I'm 23. I've never been to college, but I would like to. For the last three, almost 4 years, I've been working in Iraq and now Afghanistan, making some pretty good money, so I haven't really seen a reason for it. All my friends back home that I barely keep in contact with anyway are graduating college and having kids and all that jazz, and I'm just the asshole friend who gets drunk on beaches in Thailand and never comes home. I'm writing to get your opinion on either staying in North Florida, where I'm from, or just saying fuck it and move somewhere else. I don't have much quote-unquote stuff anymore, except for about two suitcases full of clothes and enough saved that I can move pretty much anywhere and live decently for a few years. I've nothing tying me to the city anymore, and the single girl pool is pretty slim and depressing. You're either going to be banging a girl with two kids or has been to rehab a few times.
Or both.
I have no idea where I'd want to move, except I do like the Pacific Northwest and Austria. I can speak some German, and so it would help. Should I stay where I am and go to school, or just move somewhere else and go? I think that's a pretty fucking easy answer.
Well, definitely move.
Yeah,
you should bang that chick.
Okay, first of all, if you're 23 and you haven't been to college, that's like getting to live out the dream where you're like 25 and you have the benefit of adulthood and you get to go back to and relive your high school years.
Sort of.
Yeah, and just prey on fresh idiots who have no idea what's going on.
I would actually say go to an area maybe with a friend that is living in a college area, maybe even in college, but don't even enroll because you don't need to go to school. I think school can actually be sort of a waste of money.
Well, it depends. I mean,
it depends on what your goals are.
Well, it depends if he's, you know, if you got free money to go to college, then definitely
fucking do
it.
That's true. If he has the free money, do it.
Yeah.
Don't spend the $100,000 and $200,000.
Definitely don't go to private school, and definitely, definitely don't get your MFA in creative writing from an Ivy League school.
That'll get you a blog.
If you don't have rich parents.
I will vouch for the Pacific Northwest. I can't speak to Austria, but Seattle's pretty nice.
I could speak to Australia. and say it's awesome.
If you come up to Seattle, I'll buy you a beverage.
Yeah.
Well, look, here's the deal, guy. You got the perfect excuse to move somewhere.
And one of the few points in life where you're fully unencumbered, right? Like, that doesn't happen very often where you're like, wow, I'm young.
And you've got some money.
Kicking ass, and I've got some money to do whatever the fuck I want.
And if you could go somewhere, if you do get, like Vin said, if you get the free education, awesome, take it. I would say go to a fun school with a great sports program, like a really good football or basketball, ideally football. That's what we all missed down in our lovely school of UC San Diego. Go somewhere where they're going to tailgate and have fun. Or
go to fucking community college and live with. I mean,
well,
it's not,
so if you're going to do that, don't do it at all.
Well, here's
just keep working and you'll need to go to school.
It's two pronged.
Definitely move.
If you have free money to go to college, don't rule out some of the places that seem, you know, oh, that seems like a shitty place if it's an awesome college town.
Yeah, like I'm thinking like Georgia, Texas.
Exactly. Yeah.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
UNC.
All the places that we never considered when we were looking at college.
Yeah, like if you get a free ride, Miami, you know, places like that would be pretty fun. Yeah.
Or Miami is a private school and very expensive.
Yeah, but we're saying he's
a military guy. I don't know if he's got some sort of scholarship.
You and I may be paying his way,
things like that. But
if you are
paying your own way,
maybe skip college.
Yeah,
at this point,
I probably would too.
Unless
I think he's gonna look back on these days and think how lucky he was right now at this moment. Like he sounds kind of sad in his email, but having
all these options,
he's gonna realize. Yeah, he's gonna realize later, like once he's completely tied down by the guy from Seven.
If you're not worried about the actual degree, I would say pick a city, ideally fun city, where at least like one guy friend lives. Mm-hmm. Like, ideally somewhere like Chicago, New York.
Or Ann Arbor. Hey, throw that out.
Well, there you go. Yeah, Michigan would be fun. It's fucking
cold. I like Central Coast California. I think it's great.
Fresno's
not obviously not on the coast.
Oh, Central Coast. You're talking like San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
That would be fun. And if you can get a job somewhere where you're just making money and then hanging out with the college kids,
mm-hmm.
you are going to love life.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That is going to be fun. Oh, yeah, sure, sure. That's what I would do.
I think getting the college experience in there somehow would be...
But it's going to be very, very different being a 25-year-old. And
very more awesome for you.
It'll be a target-rich environment is what it'll be.
Well, that's very, very true. But you're also not necessarily going to go live in the dorms either.
Just do it. Be the creepy guy who's 25 and lives in the dorms.
I would go live in the dorms.
All right, fuck it. Go live in the dorms, bro.
All right, here's the deal.
And you could buy all the beer. It's fantastic.
That's true. You would be a hero.
Brett and I...
That is true. Hold on. Let me check your ID. Oh, you are 18. Come on in.
Brett and I lived in the dorms in Australia.
And it was a time of my life.
Yeah, and all our dorm mates were like 17 and 18, and I was 22 at the time, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
it was great. It was fantastic.
But they're built.
And that was an all boys school. So imagine
Brett's was
like
an all boys.
Yeah, no, it's fucked up. I got the all boys school on a bad draw, and like these kids are like hardcore Catholic drinkers. So they start like 7. Right, yeah. And they're just like they have these weekly posts where they're like, "Hey, look, seriously, fucking stop running around naked. There are people who don't go to school here, and they are complaining. And you threw up in the fucking middle of the Jesus statue, and just
right on his balls.
And the whole time I was just so hungover because these kids are like fucking. They're like, "Hey, high five, crazy night last night." I was like, "I don't fucking remember anything."
Oh, brief,
so old.
Brief story that I don't believe I've ever told on the Frogcast before.
New story.
Yeah, so I was in Australia.
Even I don't get many of these.
All right.
The universities, they basically split the dorms into like quote unquote colleges where like Brett was at the Catholic college. I was at the
Satanist
fucking, Episcopalian. What the hell was it?
Yeah,
it was
you're Satan
college. It was like one of the Catholic light.
It's
religions.
The junior Catholic.
Yeah, I think it was Episcopalian or something. And it was run by like a reverend, and basically it was just a dorm. But we all had our own sports teams, and so since it was only a pool of like 200, you could play sports there, and it wasn't like playing college sports here where you have to be really good. So I went for like a semester, and Australians aren't very good at basketball, so I got to play on the basketball team while I was in Australia among other sports teams. So we had a party. After we like got,
I'll tell that to Luke Longley.
Got second place in the college basketball league, and you know we were having a good time. And another awesome thing about the colleges in Australia is that they have like bars attached to them. That
all of them have bars.
Multiple bars. Basically, just have a bar where you go and you have your sports party at the end of the year. So we're having this big party, and of course I got completely shit faced.
What?
And when I was in Australia, I was famous for a little trick that I do, which is being able to legibly pee my name on things, or pee any variety of phrases.
Would you say this is a better or worse skill than lighting farts on fire?
I'm pretty. A lot of people can light farts. Not a lot of people can legibly pee their own name.
This is more unique.
Like I can.
This is more unique.
Very unique skill. So after we had gotten shit faced celebrating our basketball victory, you know, every time we got drunk, the Australians were always goading me on to pee my name or pee things on things.
Pee my name.
And, I'm in the middle of the street peeing. I think I wasn't even peeing my name. I was peeing like fuck something into the street, and I just finished the K, and this was like, you know, probably 1-2 in the morning, and apparently the reverend who was like the leader of the college and also a priest, like an ordained Episcopalian like pastor.
So he's got Jesus
priest,
and Tim Tebow on his side.
Whatever.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Apparently he was sleeping nearby where we were having this like rowdy party for our basketball team.
Bad choice of dorm rooms. Reverend.
That's the interesting thing about Australia is that there's this weird dichotomy between they still do like the very formal English things and then just get shit-faced and ruin them like the stereotypical Australians.
I remember the Ashes, the cricket tournament, yeah, yeah. And everyone's like very proper until half an hour in. There's just people fucking vomiting, fighting.
So there's this hilarious dichotomy in the culture. And so basically I've just finished the K on fuck whatever I was writing in P, and I turn around and like the reverend is in like the pajama attire from like the 20s where he's got the hat, like he's got like
what?
A stocking, I swear to God, he had like full like matching pajamas and then like a fucking stocking cap, and he caught me peeing my name, peeing fuck into the street, and he took whatever hat I was wearing off of my head and started hitting me with it like what are you doing, like having a fucking shit fit while I was peeing fuck into the middle of the street. And then I had to go see him in the office the very next day.
See,
and he was like really mad at me, but he's like, I see your marks are very good. Because I had actually gotten really good grades at UCSD at that point. So, you know, if you can keep doing that while you're here in Australia.
Reverend, you know what? I'm here like, to fucking party,
and I'm
bro.
Like, yeah, I'll totally do that. Meanwhile, I'm like, I haven't fucking looked at a single book the entire time I was at this country.
The one time I had to go see the head of the Catholic school is I go in and I sit down. And he's like, so I hear you knocked out all of your front teeth. and I'm sitting there and I said, yes. And he said, was it in an altercation? I said, no. I was blacked out and fell down in the bar on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. after drinking probably a third of a keg, because there's only 3 kegs and about 20 people. And he just said, good, I would hate to have it be an altercation.
You can leave now.
Yeah, dismissed.
He's like, so you have no front teeth. We can use this. Yeah. We can build on this.
Yeah.
All right, one more, two more short love advice questions.
Proceed.
Hey, King Vince, Lord Brendan, and Duke Ben. I don't know why I don't know why he left Brett out, but he did.
I do.
I appreciate your past advice, and I have another pathetic question, so I'll keep it short. I have developed feelings for a good friend. Is it worth going for it, or would that awkwardness of my failed attempt be too much to continue the friendship?
Vince, did you write this?
I did not. I've never before made a move on a friend.
I wrote it. That's why I didn't include my own name.
I've never before made a move on a friend, and I've been friends with her for a while. Oh, and she takes really good notes in the classes we have together, and I wouldn't want to mess that up. Thanks.
I was concerned that it was a dude for a second, because there was no her until the very, very, very end.
So yeah. This is a nice lesbian couple. this is a strange one to give advice on,
is
though.
Is that a woman or a guy?
Let's Laramie go for it.
But is it a woman or a guy?
It's a dude.
The problem here is the friend zone, you know, once you've been trapped in the friend zone, you are not seen as a credible dating partner. Now, they always say, oh, you want to be friends with your girlfriends. And that's true after they're your girlfriend. You want to become friends. You don't want to be friends first. I think it's very difficult to convert a friend to a girlfriend. Not impossible, but difficult.
True. All right. So there's two things. One,
and oh, by the way, maybe wait for her to make a move. And I tell you how you get in that position.
No,
you have some beverages.
Nope.
Okay. Well, true.
Yeah.
You go to a pool party.
Yeah.
You maybe say, hey, you want to go to the pool with me? And then you attempt to drown her. That'll get her afraid. And then she'll be attracted to you.
All right. Well, I don't know how the ending will work out so well. But definitely beverages. And it might loosen everyone up a little.
Also, constantly talk about all the sweet parties you're going to that she can't come to. Can't hang out with you and your boyfriend.
Do have to be
sweet parties.
You do have to just know that if it goes sour, you may not be friends anymore, and that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But fuck
but
friends.
Agreed.
But I'm just saying
both that's the answer and the
like when guys
dismissal.
Are like, oh, my wife's my best friend. Oh, guess what? You don't have any friends.
You'll eventually find out
wives
that
are
no
not
one's your
friends.
Friend.
That's different.
Yeah,
that's different.
But you just do have to know if this is truly a friend. You might lose her when you try to put your fingers in her vagina.
The thing that he's leaving out that it's probably hard to put in an email is like how much sexual tension is there. And like I feel like you can sort of gauge the amount of sexual, I mean, especially as you get older. Maybe not so much when
how
you're like
19. How many times?
Most of the people I've banged have been friends that I've somehow tricked into fucking
well,
me.
Yeah, but it's not like a friend.
Gotcha!
But there's friends where there's like completely no sexual tension, and then there's friends where there's like a certain amount of sexual tension.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times it's the waiting game, right? Like a lot of chicks don't go through phases where they're single. They just hop from boyfriend to boyfriend, and you need to make absolutely clear that the only reason you're friends with them is because you're waiting in line.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If you're both single and like you both have been single and you've been friends throughout your singleness
single.
And you haven't like in like and you're close friends and like there's not that
starts to get a little weird
then it's not gonna happen
if
but
you guys yeah exactly
but like if you're just sort of acquaintance type friends and you know you maybe like you don't know each other's phone numbers or you just learned it you don't call each other every weekend then you just sort of start incorporated them into your social life more and, you know, gauge
it's
it
also,
that way.
How long has this been going on? If it's months and months where there's just nothing has happened, it's like, well, you're probably not hanging out and meeting a lot of other girls because you're just with this girl.
Oh, you're right. He's obsessing over her instead of actually trying.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fine.
He probably needs to up his flirt game, right?
Yeah.
See if she's into what he's throwing down. I think that is, as a young man, hard to tell, though. Like, I never knew. You know, I still think I don't know. I'm married. I don't know.
You don't know what? Whether
whether
it's
his wife likes him.
Whether it's a friendship or a sex possibility?
That's what I'm saying.
One of these days you're going to get laid. I feel it.
You can't.
I don't think so.
You can't be afraid to push the issue. That's
exactly,
kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you... Dude, fuck the friendship. Honestly, like, it's...
Yeah,
I'm
just
serious.
Go hang some dong.
Yeah. I mean, put yourself in weird situations where maybe you slip a... Hang some badge.
Make some
like
bad
laundry.
Choices.
Like hang some bad.
Just basically,
clips.
Just start inviting her to places where one of you is going to make some bad decisions,
like
and eventually
in your
something's going to happen.
With some alcohol.
Yeah, just invite her to like
seriously,
you know invite
like,
her.
Hey,
invite
you want to go hang out and have drinks in my bed?
Exactly. You want to come?
Try.
Do you want to come over to my house and watch some movies that we're not going to really watch? Instead, we're going to take jello shots.
Also,
and,
I only have one chair.
he could try a next level move, which is text her. Hey, let's do something tonight, and I mean sexually. And then 2 minutes later, that wasn't meant for you, right? Then her interest is piqued. Who's that meant for?
Sorry, you've got a lot of bad advice.
I accidentally said that from all my sweet parties.
Oh, you know what you do? You just send her like a crazy, like, oh my God, I want to fuck you, and like crazy, crazy, super overt text message. And then like
ten
minutes later, be like, oh dude, my friend's got a hold of my phone. That was totally immature.
I have
of
the
them.
Biggest, hardest boner I've ever felt in my life thinking about you.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my friends are such idiots.
Yeah, wait like an hour, and if she doesn't respond, like in the positive, be like, oh dude, my friends are such dicks, you guys.
My friends stole my phone and figured out my password, assholes. I hate them.
That's a move that took these guys 10 years to figure out. Just been given to you on a silver platter.
That actually happened to me one time in college where someone stole my phone and was like texting some girl like, oh my God, I want to fuck you, blah, blah, blah. Like just being super dirty. And it turned out she was into it.
Yeah.
And so I texted.
Like, hey, this text is for you.
But she was sort of coy about it. So I got my phone back. I'm like, oh, hey, sorry about that. And she's like, oh, you don't have to pretend like that wasn't you. And I was like, oh, and I didn't really know how to go from there. Because now I'm like the prude guy.
Yeah, dirty. Why are you being the prude guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing.
I remember this one time. It was like, oh, your boyfriend sent you flowers? Dude, sounds pretty gay. And then you just slide right in there. Just be like,
yeah, you're going to want to undermine any other men
in
your life.
Yeah.
Including her father.
Especially her father.
I don't want to live your life.
Yeah.
That's a little James Vanderbeek for those of you.
Jimmy Vanderbeek from the Creek.
I miss Dawson.
Beek from the Creek.
Oh, we got one last love all advice question.
This is it. And then we're going to put her to bed.
I'm not even sure if this one's real or not, but whatever. Dear fraternity brothers, I'm hoping you can help me out with my love life, seeing as you always seem to give pretty good advice to everyone else, and this is a special case. A couple of years ago, I slept with a friend of mine who was a girl. This was great.
Nice qualifier.
Yeah.
See, again, I appreciate the clarification. Because it would be very different if it was a male friend.
Yeah.
What about I slept with a friend named Megan. Wouldn't that also get the same thing across?
Well, it could be a dude named Megan. You never know these days.
Very true.
There's Megan. Chick's name's James.
Megan,
and
number
Mike
8 most popular male name in 2010.
This was great, although she claims she was so drunk she can't remember it. I'm fairly sure you don't forget a night like that. We broke her bed whilst making love.
Whilst?
About a year later, I slept with one of her best friends in a guy's bed. And although she never let me do it again, I'm confident it's just because she didn't want to make her best friend upset. But then a few months ago, I was intimate with another one of their best friends.
What the hell?
First off, we had sex in the woods in the rain and then on the floor of a garage next to an old car.
And then in a Burger King bathroom.
I didn't use a condom that time, but luckily she wasn't pregnant. So that's three best friends who've all been with me. But what should I do now? I don't understand women, but I think that I stand a fairly good chance of romance with at least one of them. But won't the other two be upset if I pick one? Maybe I should try and pick the one that I was with most recently, seeing as that's the one that I have the best odds with, and Christmas is closing in fast. Oh, they're all from Essex in England, which is kind of like our version of the Jersey Shore.
Oh, hence the whilst.
Thanks, guys, and drunk on, the French-Mexican.
You should...
Well, a couple things. Number one...
Four-way.
That's definitely not a real email because girls don't have two best friends.
Yeah, it was like four girls.
So that's just a lie right there. They only have one best friend. Ask any of them.
Let's say it's true. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. My problem is the girls, he's poisoned the well, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. True.
Because ladies will talk.
But you want to go back to the most recent.
Ladies will...
Ladies be talking.
They'll freeze your underwear.
Just pick the best looking one and try and separate her out from the herd and be like, your friends are bitches and they talk so much smack about you, you won't believe it.
Oh, Vince got his underwear frozen one time for banging friends. Oh, it was amazing. Because it was a party at his house. It was New Year's. Oh, God. And just, you're looking for ice and there's just a freezer full of underwear.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
They took my underwear and they ran them under the sink and then froze them.
I will say there's no greater feeling than having banged one friend and have them walk in on you banging the other friend. That is a profound experience.
Here's what's crappy about that, though. They will still be friends after that and hate you. Like, somehow it's your fault
That's the best part.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. But I'm just saying, like, in real life, it's not your fault. They were consensual. There was banging going on. Look in the mirror. Look at your friendship.
Yeah, goddamn right. As far as advice for this guy, I would say, you know, just pick, you seem like you're having an easy time banging. So just pick whatever one.
You know what? How about this? Just keep on banging. Don't limit it to this group of three girls.
Pick whichever one you think is the one that you most like to bang, and just try to bang that one because you seem to be doing all right so far.
Move on to another group of girls.
Or just start banging their like second tier friends, right? Where they're just like, oh, I met this
Do
chick.
Do you have
I think
any other not best friends, but acquaintances that may like to hang out with me?
When I say pick whichever one, I mean just in general, not out of these four. I mean just in life. Like pick whichever girl like in life that you think is...
And then how about this? pick a group that has a big circle of friends and just go one by one.
Yeah.
One by one.
See which one you most like banging.
Yeah, and then move on to the next group.
What are your coworkers like?
Yeah. Do you work with any other females?
Like, say you like one, but then you find out she's got a weird vag. Then you got to find, you know, you got to
This will not do at all.
Whilst is this?
Whilst I was banging thee, I found out thou had a weird vag. And so I moved on to thy
this
best friend.
This fanny is not the fanny that I would like.
I really hope we don't get this guy murdered.
Yeah.
Well. That's going to be... Gonna get
everyone who writes in for advice has like an 80% chance of getting murdered by following our advice.
Yeah. Within 10 minutes.
Yeah. Real quick.
It's like Destination... Or it's a Final Destination broadcast. All right.
Yeah. See if she has a cousin... Or like a groundskeeper, bang that person too.
Or a grandma.
Well, first make sure that groundskeeper is a female. I don't think there's a lot of female groundskeepers out there.
Yeah, or if it's a dude, as long as he's cute.
A groundskeeper named Megan.
I don't want to be homophobic. If it's a cute dude and you like dudes, hey.
I think we can give
dude.
Out.
Do the Let's, dude.
I'm happy to give out gay advice. You send me mail-on-mail stuff. I'll tell you what I know.
Yeah,
I,
you know what I'd tell you? I'd tell you, man, just keep on trucking. That seems like it'd be awesome. I would just... If I could take a pill to be gay, I would take that pill right now.
The new Mountain Dew campaign.
You'd have to.
I will say, dudes, if you, like you're nailing all your dude, you're gay, and you're nailing guy friends, they're much cooler about it. They're not going to hold a grudge.
Yeah, no.
They're going to be like, it's all good in the game. Do your thing.
Yeah, Mountain Dew actually has a new like energy drink for the gays.
Called?
Do the dude.
Hot.
That's good.
You can steal that, Vince. You can take that to your next.
Ben wrote that down.
Sorry. Yeah.
He's reading off his hand right now. You guys can see it.
Do the dude.
All right. Well, we're approaching 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to have to edit like a half
hour.
We're
going to have to edit at least 30 seconds off.
Yeah. What's the longest one?
This one.
Really?
Yeah.
2 hours? We really did 2 hours?
Almost.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to be a part of the longest
You're
one.
You're supposed to be telling us that we're going
we were having
way
so
over
much fun.
We were. All right. Well, let's put it to bed.
Laramie was doing an amazing fake Brad impersonation. He's impersonating an impersonator.
He's really good at it, too.
Yeah, he really is.
Is that out there?
See? Yeah, sure. All right. Well, Laramie, thanks for coming on earlier.
Just a pleasure, gentlemen, as always.
We were in Burnsy's Corner earlier. And Vince, you said you're going to take us on out of here?
Yeah, good night and good chins, and goddamn, I have to pee.